Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat, Connecticut's 5th District. Elizabeth, I just love your leadership on the gun control issue. You have been there way before almost anyone else because, of course, you had Sandy Hook, but you speak beautifully. What does it look like in the Congress? Is there a mood to do something?
Well, there certainly is a strong mood that we absolutely need to do something. And I'll tell you, because I think what we're seeing in this latest attack, just this horrific, horrific murder of 49 Americans in Orlando, has really three elements, all of which are really important and all of which require Congress to take action. You know, first, clearly, they're terrorist-inspired. It's not clear whether, it looks like he was self-radicalized, but this was a terrorist attack, and it requires a counterterrorism response. So that's something that means we have to keep beefing up our counterintelligence. We need to be, figuring out how we counteract recruitment. And, we are going to see, I think, we're going to continue to see lone wolf scenarios. And this is in part because the good news is we're actually doing a good job of helping to defeat and constrain ISIS in Syria and in Iraq. So as their power has diminished there, they are calling for lone wolf attacks. They are calling for attacks around the world. But it's an indication that they're literally losing ground. They're losing territory. They're losing power there. So they are actually counting on people to be self-radicalized. And that looks like what has happened here. So that means we need to redouble our efforts at home to figure out what we can do to reduce the appeal of that hateful ideology and to stand strong against terrorism. And I want to see at the top of our list this week something we called for right after San Bernardino, and that is to close the terror gap. No fly, no buy. If you are on a terrorist watch list, you should not be allowed to buy a weapon. It is sheer insanity that right now you can be on a terrorist watch list, and over 200 people have been on the terrorist watch list and been legally permitted to buy guns. That makes no sense. So I would hope and think we could get agreement in the U.S. Congress. We've been denied the opportunity to vote on that. So I'm going to be calling really loudly this week to close that list. And it appears that the attacker was indeed for a period of time on the terror watch list. But let's be very clear, even if he'd stayed on it, he still legally would have been permitted to buy. That's absolutely something we need to address. This was a hate crime. Let's also be clear, too. This was a hate crime. I have a brother who is gay. I have a constituent, a young woman, KJ Morris from Torrington, Connecticut, who had just recently moved down to Florida. There are folks from all over the country with ties all over this great country who we will eventually learn were killed. And they were targeted as Americans, and they were targeted because they were gay. And gay Americans and allies like me and you have fought very hard for decades to get full equality in this country, and the kinds of freedoms we enjoy here are part of what the terrorists hate about our country. And that was part of why these particular Americans were targeted. And there's hate crime legislation we can and should be looking at. That's another piece of this. And we need to stand up strongly for our democratic values. And the last piece, obviously, is on gun violence as a whole. And, what is it about this country that has made it us unable in Congress to take action since Sandy Hook, since San Bernardino, now Orlando, and since the killings that we see every weekend, every day across the country. And if you've been following the series in the New York Times on Chicago, it's just appalling. And it barely even makes the news anymore. And we have to do better. And I know we can do better. But we've got to be allowed to take votes in Congress. That's part of it.
Is the NRA power in any way threatened? Is there any possible abatement of the control they have, particularly, I think, in the Republican Party, to not allowing good people to vote on remedial legislation?
Well, I tell you, I'm going to be pushing my Republican colleagues very hard, and I think every American should be calling members of Congress and say, are you supporting terrorists or are you standing with the American people? Are you more afraid of the NRA than you are willing to stand up and help defend Americans? And I want to have that fight because, frankly, it's gotten out of control. The NRA has, you know, should not be allowed to call the shots on this, to make members of Congress so fearful that they don't do what they know to be the right thing, which is to help protect Americans who are being targeted by terrorists who find it immensely easy in this country to get a hold of weapons.
Into all of this comes the T word, obviously gets up there and makes some huge accusations against the president of the United States. We're talking about Donald Trump, of course. Has he lost any sense of responsibility towards the American people here?
Well, I think his language is reckless and dangerous. And frankly, in the war we have, the generational conflict I think we're going to be facing with terrorism, words matter. And the kind of reckless, hateful rhetoric that Donald Trump is doing, dividing Americans, grouping folks based on their religion or their country of origin, whether it's a federal judge born in Indiana whose family originally came from Mexico, who is apparently, according to Donald Trump, not able to impartially do his job because of that. Well, you know, pretty much every vast majority of Americans came from someplace else if you trace the lines back. And we in this country believe individuals have individual rights and responsibilities, and we judge people on their individual characteristics and what they choose to do. And it is unbelievably offensive to suggest that a federal judge who's been confirmed by the U.S. Senate, who is a proud, distinguished jurist, can somehow not do his job because his parents came from another country. It's deeply against American values. And now we're seeing again with this attack a renewal of, actually it's worse than a renewal of some of Donald Trump's language. He was literally bragging that, quote, he was right. And thank you for thanking me for being right. And the being right, according to him, is that we should not allow anyone who's Muslim into this country at this point. And I guess he's going to have to go farther since this young man was born in the United States of America, born in Brooklyn 29 years ago, or born in the Bronx, born in New York 29 years ago. And if we're going to start applying that litmus test to Americans of anyone whose, you know, parents came from another country, isn't a true American, I think we're going down a dark and dangerous road. And it frankly adds to recruitment for ISIS. It makes us less safe. Let's be very clear. It makes us less safe. And for those of us concerned about national security, words matter. If you want to be a leader, you better be thoughtful about what you say.
I love talking to Elizabeth Esty. One of my favorite people that I talk to, Elizabeth, because you are so sensible and so right. Thank you so much for being with us. When we come back the next time, we'll talk about LGBT rights as a result of all of this.
Great. Thanks so much.